Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is your brother, Lohim, coming to you live out of Philadelphia. Glad to thank those who are calling in early so we can get everything set up. Now, this next few weeks are going to be a lecture series. So we're going to run a lecture till about 20 minutes of, and then we're going to open up for questions and answers, okay? Boy, do I have a lot to talk about today. But before I get started, I'd like to give a shout out to my my grand nephew who is no longer with us. He passed yesterday, and I give a shout out to my niece Janine and to my sister Cassie for their loss. And I hope that his journey to the incorporeal realm will be very smooth, and one day I'll see him there. Okay. Now, the topic of the day is what's the difference between love, evil, and hate? Okay. Now, every week I talk about love because I think it's something that we really need to discuss as much as possible because we really don't know how to love each other. We treat each other like crap, you know. We have all these great men and women that have came to teach us how to love, but we don't follow them. We're following the 1%, and what they're teaching us is about love, and they don't know how to love each other, you know. Everything to them is power and business, and that's where their love goes, to power and business, okay. Now, Jesus said to love one another as I have loved you. Now, the question of the day is, are you loving one another as Jesus loved you? Now, people ask me sometimes, you want people to do to you as you would have them doing to you. Sometimes I have to laugh because I don't want people to treat me like they treat themselves. Because some people, not everybody, but some people treat themselves like crap. And, man, I don't want you to treat me like that, you know. They treat their bodies like crap. They smoke, drink, do every doggone thing because society is telling them that it's okay. But you have to become a leader of yourself, you know. That's the problem with leadership. We're constantly following people, but the best person to follow is yourself because who will have your best interest at heart more than you? Okay, now the question is, what is love? Now, I know every week I talk about this, but I think it's important. Love is the act that makes others feel good. Okay, now if you're committing an act or saying something to somebody and you know it's not going to make them feel good, don't go there. Don't even, you know, because if we dealt with the Egyptians and you go back into Ma'at, which is where most of all of the religious concepts came from. You go back into Ma'at, they talked about the heart, purifying the heart. And the heart is very important because the heart actually helps you link up to the power base that you have coming to the universe. Most of us don't know that the heart has a neural link in it that communicates with the brain. So your heart is actually communicating with you. It's telling you different things. Sometimes you say, you know, I just didn't feel like that was, you know, because your heart has been to a place and the heart remembers. So the heart feels something. You say, no, I don't think I want to do that today. I think I'm going to stay where I am. And next thing you know, something that happened, you couldn't figure out what it was. And the heart gives off hormones. And those hormones lock you into an atmosphere where you can feel and sense things, you know. This is where that comes from. It comes from your heart, you know. So once you purify your heart, you'll be able to draw more energy in because you'll be able to sense and feel the energy as it flows through you, you know. This is why when Peter asked Jesus, said, where's the kingdom of heaven? Or where's the kingdom of heaven coming? Jesus told him, the kingdom of heaven is within you, okay? Now, you can go into the books, the Bible, the Quran, Bhagavad Gita, any of them, and you can look for the bad, and you're going to find it. There's some stuff in all them books that I wouldn't teach nobody, including the Bible. There's stuff in the Bible that I stay away from. If you don't like something in one of them books that's not going to make you a better person, why not bring it out and throw it in somebody else's face? It don't make sense. That's just going to cause bickering, conversation. You're going to go back and forth forever, and nothing gets done. An example of debating and nothing gets done, look at the political party and what they're going through right now. They're debating. Everybody's talking about each other like a dog. And when they get in there, they go through the same thing for the next 8 years. Nothing gets done. It's just back and forth, back and forth. You follow what I'm saying? So if there's something in a book that you don't like, more than likely, the other person's not going to like it either. Leave it there. Just look for things that's going to make you a better person. Look for things that's going to build your character, you know. And this is how you begin to purify yourself, you know. Now, I'm focusing on love just for a minute, but we're going to go to evil. We're going to go right to evil. What is evil? Okay, so this is the topic of the day, but I do have a lot to go through because there's a couple of things I didn't get to last week, especially as how they're stealing your children's minds. Get into that in a minute. How they're taking your children from you and you don't even know what's going on, you know? So when you deal with love, okay, it's very important that you understand love is not an emotional act. It's an act that draws emotion, okay? I mean, they got it twisted. You're going to fall in love with somebody, and you're stalking them and doing all this crazy stuff, making them miserable, but you think you love them. It don't work that way, see? If the acts that you're committing doesn't make the person feel good, then you shouldn't commit the acts because all that's going to do is make them draw, push them further and further away from you. You follow what I'm saying? If the person don't return the acts that you're giving them, okay, then there's something wrong there. There's not a compatibility. You have to be wise at what you're doing. And now, evil is when you force your will on somebody. Think about that. Evil is when you force your will on somebody. Now, nobody likes evil. Now, when you think about put evil on an act that's been committed all around the world. When people came here to do the conquest, the Europeans came here. We were already here. When they came here, they forced their will on us, which was evil. So this country was established out of evil. When you take a person and turn them into a slave, that's evil. All that's evil. So when you put the right understanding of evil on things, you begin to know who's evil and who's not evil. People that are pushing buttons, and I'm talking about pushing your buttons once they get to know you, to force you to do things, to manipulate you, they're committing evil acts. Those are not acts of love. Now, somebody asked me last week, well, what about when you spank your child? Well, when you spank your child, you're not administering love to your child. Now, you may be concerned that your child is going the wrong way, that your child is not going to follow the path that you think is good for the child. So you spank your child, you're forcing your will on your child to make them do certain things. That's evil. No, the child is not going to like evil. I don't care when you do it or out of what reasoning that you think you're doing good for the child. Whenever you force your will on the child, that's evil. So you have to be mindful. You know how they say sometimes it's a necessary evil? Because you want your child to be, maybe you want your child to be a doctor, you want your child to be a lawyer, and your child might have other things in mind, but your whole system is set up for the child being what you want the child to be. So you're forcing your will on the child because you want the child to do a certain thing. You're caring about the child's welfare, but your actions are not love. Most of the time, the children, they're following the greatest thing that they ever knew in their life. They're following the greatest person that they've ever had, the most wonderful person in their life. That's the mother and father. That's most of the time who they're following. You tell your child, well, you shouldn't be smoking. But yet the child is stealing the cigarettes out of your purse, stealing the cigarettes out of your pocket. If whatever you don't want your 15 and 16-year-old child to do, you shouldn't do it. Because if drinking is bad for them, it's bad for you too. It's always been bad for you. It kills brain cells. It hurts the body. It causes cancer. It does a lot to you. But yet, you still drink. But you don't want your children to drink. But the children love you, and they want to follow the greatest example that they ever had, which is you. So if you're going to push your children in a certain direction, you need to do it by example. If you got to spank your child more than one time for the same thing, it only means that the spanking didn't work. The child do not understand what you're telling them and what you're trying to do for them. Communication is the key when you're dealing with children. Now, let's move into hate, okay? When you force your will on a person, that action causes a reaction in their heart. That's where the hate comes from. See, hate is when you do not like something that has happened to you. Okay? You got so many blacks that hate Europeans. Why? Because of slavery. Because of what they're doing to them. Because of what they're doing right now. You got some blacks that would just as soon cut your head off, cut a European's head off, as look at them. Now you got some whites that have been treating us like crap. Why? You got to remember, once you go into your history, blacks ruled Europe 800 years. We sold Europeans into slavery. They don't tell you about that. All they tell you about is the other way around. But we have sold Europeans into slavery. We have ruled Europe for 800 years. It took Europe 800 years to get out from under the Moors. That's what ruled Europe for 800 years. And some of the treatment wasn't that good. But some of the treatment was good. Same thing that's going on right now. Some of the treatment that the Europeans are giving us is good. Some of the treatment they're giving us is bad. But it causes hate. That's where hate comes from. Hate comes from the act that you commit on a person that don't make them feel good. And they wind up hating you. And once a person hates you, ain't too much you can say to them, because every time you come around them, those hormones kick in. And they get that feeling about you. Man, I can't stand this. Because of what you've done. Because of the acts that you've committed. This is why they don't want to teach black history, the real black history. They don't want to teach it in the schools. Because they know what they've done. And if they teach these children this stuff, how they took women and some of the islands and just worked everybody on the island to death, like 20 million people, just worked them to death and brought in new people. If the children start finding out some of the horrors that was committed, I'm talking about on the black children, there's no way in the world they can keep from hating the European. So this is why they leave them out of school, because they know how this thing works. The problem is we don't know how it works. So we have to learn how this thing works so that we can communicate with each other, so we don't be pissing each other off, you know. Now, Jesus gave an example. I like to teach the Jesus because of there's so many good things in there that I can use to make me a better person. I also like to teach the Muhammad because there's things in the Quran that make me a better person. I'm not going to let the Muslims take Jesus from me. I'm not going to let the Christians take Muhammad from me because they did some good things. I'm not going to let them take Buddha from me. No, no, there's things that they did was so good. That's what I take. That's what's making me a better person. That's what's increasing and opening my DNA so that I can receive more information. Because once you start purifying your heart, you have a DNA change. Your DNA will actually upgrade. You will go from 3.0 to 4.0, and you'll be starting to see things.
Okay, the switchboard dropped everything, dropped the calls, dropped the callers, and it shut me off the air. I had to call back in to reactivate it. This is weird because it happened last week as well. And this is not how it's supposed to be. Anyway, this is the Elohim Radio Show. So those of you who were on the line, it just cut everybody off the line. And I don't know if you're going to call back in or not, but it kept knocking the callers off and on, off and on, and I don't actually get it. I don't actually get it. I don't know why it did that. Okay? But I'm going to continue with the show. I had to call back in. They reconnected me to the live show. That's what the switchboard said, okay? And let me continue where I was going, okay? Now, we were talking about how they're stealing, how they're taking the children from you at an early age, okay? That's the last thing I was talking about. So we're going to continue with that line of thought, all right? And hopefully this will be added to the live archives. I don't know what happened, but some callers are starting to call back in now. But everything just shut down. All the callers dropped off, everything. I don't know what it was. I had to call back in. and it locked me back on. I got a few texts here where people are telling me that I'm off the air. So, but hopefully we're back on. Hopefully you can hear what's going on, and I believe you can. So I'm going to continue with the line of how they're stealing, taking your children from you at an early age without you even knowing about it, you know. The children on a path, they subliminally seduce your children at an early age. Now, those of you who are calling back in, I appreciate you calling back in, and if we can do the question and answer period too if you want. So if you have a question or comment you want to make, just put your mic open and I'll bring you on the air, assuming that that's working. So we'll find out in a minute. But remember the story of how they gave your children a story of Little Red Riding Hood? And she's walking down the path, and here comes a big bad wolf. Okay? Now, the big bad wolf didn't attack her on the path because she knew on the path, she traveled the path every day, and if she saw the big bad wolf, she'd have recognized who he was. So the big bad wolf snuck around the girl into grandma's house, eats grandma, and poses as grandma in the bed. So the little girl comes in and she said, wait a minute. Because the little girl's looking, she said, wait a minute. I know grandma, something's wrong with this picture. Something ain't right here. So she said, grandma, what big eyes you have, better to see you, my dear. Well, grandma, what big ears you have, better to hear you, my dear. Then she said, grandma, what big teeth. And grandma eats the little girl. Okay. Now here's a question you have to ask yourself. What was so important about grandma that the wolf had to eat her? Grandma lived in the woods where the path was. So grandma was the perfect guide for the little girl to travel on the path. Grandma represents the elders. Wasn't her mother in there, but her grandma was there. That's the elders. So that means that they want to steer your children subliminally away from their own history, back into the African history and all that. Because some people, you start talking about African history, they look at you, they don't even want to hear it. Because in their mind as a child, they've been subliminally seduced as a child to not want to fight for ancestors or they'll be killed. Huh? You got some people that won't talk about our history because they know master don't like it. Now, master controls the paycheck. So if master don't like them, they won't eat. So they have to emulate master a little bit because master subliminally has cut them off from their ancestors with just that little story. Now, here's another story. You got a couple, Hansel and Gretel, right? They just redid the movie Hansel and Gretel. I didn't watch it. I think I need to. They just redid the movie Hansel and Gretel. They found good things on the path. They're on the path, too. They found good things, meaning good information. And the information, the little good things they led was crumbs, leading them to a whole treasure house of information full of goodies and all that. But when they went in, there was evil in the house waiting to get them. So they don't want the children to follow the good things that's on the path. They want them to follow the bad things. Because if you follow the bad things, you won't get eaten. You follow good things, there's evil going to get you. This is how they're subliminally seducing your children to go in the wrong direction. Okay? This is how they're doing it. If you watch the cartoons that they have today, all of the children are on some kind of path fighting monsters. So the children don't want to be on a good path. They'll watch it, think about it, but they don't want to be on it. You know? They're taking your children from you right from under your nose at a very early age. This is a subliminal seduction, you know? Now, the next thing I want to get into is we can't talk to the teenagers. How come we can't talk to the teenagers? Because we don't know how, you know? The teenagers, they have set up a back door so that they can communicate with the teenagers. The back door is the programming that they can get in, get the teenagers to buy whatever they want, do whatever they want, and then once they get the teenager locked into what they're trying to buy, they get out and leave the teenager just as messed up as they was when they got in. Christmas time. The children don't know what to buy. Somebody got to tell them what's in the marketplace, what's to buy, what's good. That's what the advertising is for, and it's all through the cartoons, and they seduce the adults the same way. If you notice, when they're selling things, it's always some type of cartoon character set up there to sell them. You think the children understood nutrition when they asked for the Kellogg's Frosted Flakes? No, they liked Tony the Tiger. That's what they liked, so that's what they wanted. You know, the Fruit Loops guy, they got the little bird with the different colors around his beak, you know? That's what they like. So if you're going to deal with teenagers, actually some of the older children as well, you know, if you're going to deal with them, what you have to do is learn what their favorite cartoons is, and you have to talk to them through the cartoons, okay? This is how it has to be done, because if you try to do it any other way than that, it's going to go in one ear, out the other. The children aren't going to be able to hear anything that you said, you know? They're not going to know a single thing. They're not going to know anything. They're not going to understand, and they won't be responding to what you're telling them because they can't hear what you're saying. That's why when you're in school, they talk about the peers. The children are the peers. See, they ain't worried about they're more worried about what the children are saying than what you're saying, because they're in the school with the children 5 or 6 hours a day. And you're not there, so they don't have you to lean on. So the children form little cliques, bully squads, and all that to do evil on other children, forcing their will on other children. And once the children, once they get to that situation, the children have to acquiesce, because there's nothing they can do. They don't have nobody there to protect them. The teachers don't know what's going on because ain't nobody talking. Just once somebody start talking, they get beat up. So they don't want to get beat up. You follow what I'm saying? So that's what's going on. Now, just getting back into what I mentioned earlier about the family and the tribe. Follow what I'm saying? We think when they're talking about family, they're not talking about mama, baby, and the son. They're not talking about that. When they say family, they're talking about the economic structure. There's you to take care of your tribe. So when you have children, you literally have created a new tribe. Now you have to figure out what kind of economic structure am I going to set up to take care of this tribe. I don't know if you remember. Remember the movie The Godfather? And Michael Corleone took over, and he's sitting there, everybody coming in, kissing his ring. And the guy that ever stayed in his father's house, in their house, after they moved up on the big hill, he came up and said, Michael Corleone. He said, Godfather, I would like to start my own family. This guy's married with 3 children. So what did he mean when he say he liked to start his own family? Instead of being under somebody else's economic structure, he wanted to be under his own. But see, we miss little things like this because of the thought process that we're under. We're under the thought process that we have. We miss so much, and we're kind of screwed up. So we have to start thinking a little better. We have to upgrade from 3.0 to 4.0. Now, how do we upgrade? I know I'm starting to sound like a broken record, but some things are hard to hear. This is why when they run the commercials, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and all those guys, they do it over and over and over and over, because the first couple of times you can't hear it, because they know, they trained you. They know what you can hear and know what you can't hear, you know? So we're back to you are not creative. I'm smiling because I say it every week. But bear with me. We need to hear this. This is so important. This is one of the most important things that I can impress on anybody. This is my most important message, believe it or not. This is even more important than the message of love. You were not created. The greatest, the most powerful thing that you will ever find is in your mirror. They don't beat you up. Okay, you've been being beat up all your life. You ain't nothing. You can't do nothing. People more powerful than you. If we're so powerful, then how come the white man got a foot on our neck and all this kind of stuff? But listen, there's nothing greater than you. And once you start accepting who you actually are, conscious energy formed in flesh called God in the Bible. You are all God's children of the Most High. That's what they tell you. Is it not written in your law that you are all God? It just says it over and over in there. But with the thought process that we're under, we can't hear it. It also said, he that eateth of me will become a son indeed and do greater works than I did. So, I mean, Jesus didn't limit you to him being your God. That wasn't his intention. He said, my Father's work is great. My Father's greater than I. So he knew that he wasn't an end-all, be-all, although that's what they're giving you because they want you to think that you're less than and not equal to something. They don't care what it is, even if it's a rock or a stone or a statue. They don't care. As long as you're in that I'm not equal, less than mindset, they're in control. They have you. The switchboard is starting to act up again. I don't know what's causing these problems. But as long as you're thinking that you're less than and not equal to, they have you. Some more people are starting to call back in. I apologize because the switchboard is going crazy here. But I'm beginning to see you calling back in, and that's good because I'm still right in my face. right now, for those of you who are chiming back in, I'm back to the broken record that you were not created. Listen, energy cannot be created or destroyed because it's so important. If energy cannot be created or destroyed, how are you created? You weren't. You were made up of the same substance of the entire universe. Everything is connected to you. You are part of all of it. And you're carrying power, unimaginable power. It's just the fact that we haven't been able to tap it because we've been so beat up and so brainwashed and so put down that we can't actually get into who we actually are. And they have been beating us up so much that we actually know who we are no more. We keep aligning ourselves to something on this little speck of dirt that we call Earth, you know? Oh, well, I'm an African. I'm an American. I'm a Japanese. I'm this. No. You're older than all of this. That brings us into when Moses asked God, who are you? He said, I am that I am. That's who you are. You are part of the I am. And your will on the I am makes you unstoppable, makes you able to do anything. You can accomplish anything that you want. Doesn't matter what it is. Don't care what it is. If you decide you want to be president, you can be president. Evidence that you can do it no matter what color you are, no matter what race you're from. If you're determined to do it, you can do it. Don't make any difference what you want to do. You want to set up businesses? You want to make $1 million a month? You got guys that are billionaires, trillionaires. They ain't no better than you. If they can make that kind of money to take care of their family for the next 10 generations, you need to do the same thing. You can pull yourself up from wherever you are once you understand who you really are. Okay? You're a conscious energy formed in flesh. That's what you are. Flesh is energy as well, but it vibrates at a lower frequency. That's what makes it solid. Okay, your consciousness, which we call a Christ consciousness, is vibrating at a higher frequency, but you can't see it, but that's what makes you conscious. That's what gives you your consciousness. We can go back into Egyptology if you want to. They spell Christ, K-R-S-T, so it didn't come along with Yahshua ben Bandera. It was here all along. Well, that's Jesus' real name, Yahshua ben Bandera. That little white boy that got strung up on a cross, he's a fake. So people say, wait a minute, man, you can't be talking about my Lord like that. But, you know, once you go past Constantine, you're not going to find no Jesus Christ because Christ is not a last name. See what I'm saying? And you got some people, because of the corruption, some of the Christian preachers are teaching, that don't even want nothing to do with religion. They I want to do religion. Oh, no. No, but it's because the corruption is there. You got to start doing your own research. Am I saying things that are right? No. Am I saying things that are wrong? No. See what I'm saying? I'm not right or wrong. I'm putting out information. You have to go and check it out for yourself. That's the key to the whole thing. It even says in the Bible, I take things out of the Bible that's going to make me a better person. Tells me in there, prove to yourself. That way you won't be confused. You need to prove things to yourself. Go and look up what I'm saying. Go do some research. There was a Yahshua ben Bendel born in Egypt who became a Christ. Christ is a title. See what I'm saying? So when they say every knee shall bow and everybody shall submit, they ain't talking about Jesus, the man. They're talking about the Christ consciousness, which you are a part of. You were born into this consciousness because this consciousness is a part of who you are, a part of what you are, you know? And the conscious that you're tapped into is unlimited. That's why whatever we have today, next year we make something better. Next year we're going to do better than that. Next year we're going to do better than that. You know what I'm saying? This is just amazing because you are an actual unlimited being. You have no limit. The only limit that you have is the one that you place on yourself. And we're telling you now, take the limit off yourself. Know that you are God of this dimension, goddess of this dimension. And there's nothing greater, there's nothing over, there's nothing greater than you because you are the actual universe in an expansion mode. You are the universe expansion. People are still texting me because of what happened. I can't really stop to go into the texts and stuff, so I'm going to keep running my face because we're almost out of time here. And once again, I appreciate your patience. I don't know why the switchboard did what it did, but it knocked all the callers off, knocked me off. I had to call back in, and then they connected me back into the live show. And then the time is wrong. Right now, the time on my switchboard says 4:30, and it's not 4:30. It's not even 4 o'clock yet. So everything, the switchboard itself is screwed up, and I already texted them, so they're going to send me a text as reference to what's going on with my switchboard, you know, as if I don't know. But we'll leave it at that. But everything about this show, everything that we talk about, is designed to uplift you as an individual. You hear people say, well, there's no I in team, and we got to do this. That's leaders talking. Leaders talking because they want you to follow them. And if you're following them, they're taking money from you, trust me. If you're following them, they're asking for donations. They got building funds. They got all kinds of stuff going on to get your money, okay? But what would happen if you went into the mosque or church or synagogue, wherever you go, and the eyes don't show up? If the eyes don't show up, the place is empty, you know? The eyes have to show up for we to be there. Without the eyes, there is no we. Okay? So you need to focus on your eye. Get you strong. Get you powerful. Get yourself set up. Then you can help somebody else. You can't help nobody if you're drowning. You know, if you're drowning, how are you going to pull somebody else out of the water and you can barely breathe yourself? First, you got to get yourself out of the water. Get yourself straightened out. Then you can think in terms of helping other people. It's in you to help and do good. It's just in you. You're born that way. And quiet as is kept, I know this is going to hit some people the wrong way. Every conscious entity on the planet, okay, all, let me say it this way, all humans are born that way, no matter what color you are. All humans are born with the innate desire to do good. But on their journey, something happens to them. The way they're being trained, the way they're being treated, everything affects the outcome of what type of person that's going to be. So when you have your children, you got to really think carefully. Be careful about how you handle your children. Men, if you have daughters, do not spank your daughters under any circumstances. That will give them the impression, because your daughters love you, and that will give them the impression that unless a man is beating on them, they don't love them. This is why some women, they don't respect a man if the man don't smack them around every now and then, because that's what their dad did. That's what their dad did, and they love their father. So I tell you, don't beat your daughters. Find a way to talk to them. I've raised 4 daughters, and I never hit one of them. and they're all doing fine. You know, well, you know, sometimes they go to the left and to the right, but mostly they're doing fine. They're doing just great. I'm proud of all four of them. You follow what I'm saying? Now, the boys, I will spank the boys one time just to let them know that I would do it, but that's it. You know, that's it. I would never spank a boy child more than once. Because if he didn't get it the first time, he ain't going to get it if you spank him again. You can't keep beating him every time he do it. That means he's missing something. You're not explaining this thing to him right, or you're telling him to not do something that you're doing. And if you're doing something and he's doing it and you chastise him for him doing it and you're doing it, you know, remember the old saying, don't do as I say, do? That don't work. That don't work. You lose your children like that, you know? Everything stems from your love. It stems from your actions, your act. You got to think about this. Before I do this to this child, will it make them feel good? You got to think about that. Spanking a child don't make them feel good. That's evil. Right? Evil never makes anybody feel good. Whenever you commit evil, whatever you're forcing anything on anybody, it don't make them feel good. Sometimes you're forcing something on somebody that's a good thing in your mind. But because you're forcing it on them, they don't want it. You know, even though it would be great for them to have, but they don't want it because you're forcing it on them. So anytime you commit evil, you don't commit evil out of love. This is a mistake that they've been pushing down our throat coming from the 1%. You know, oh, I love the child. I spank the child because I love them. No. Spanking a child is not love. Spanking a child is not an act of love, okay? That's evil. You don't commit evil and call it love, period. That's how it works. Evil is evil. Now, if you decide that your child is doing some things that might get the child killed, and you say, well, look, I can't let the child go down this road, and you've talked to the child, try to explain to the child still don't get it, you know? And so you decide to force the child to do this. Okay, that's what they call necessary evil. Okay, but it's still evil. Sometimes evil is necessary, sometimes, but not most of the time if you get your conversation right. You have to learn how to communicate. And the best way to start to communicate with a teenager is to start talking to them when they're 2 and 3 and 4 years old. Sit down, have conversations with them. Talk to them. Try to get into their head to understand what's on their mind. And if you're used to talking to them, and they're used to talking to you at 3, 4, 5, or 6 years old, when they get teenagers, you have no problem sitting down having a conversation with your child. But if you've been spanking them because you don't think they're smart enough to understand, some people say, I'll spank the child until they get old enough to understand. No, but if you start spanking them when they get old enough to understand, they don't want to hear it because they don't like you no more because you've been committing evil on them, and children don't like evil. Nobody likes evil. I mean, if somebody was beating your butt, you wouldn't like it either. Even if they're doing it for your own good, please, don't give me that one. You see what I'm saying? How you handle your children is very, very important if we're going to get out of this mess. People say, well, is there any way that the black people are going to change and get out of this mess? Yes, it's through your children. So I'm saying it took Europe 800 years to get out under the Moors. Control, because the Moors ran Europe for 800 years. It took them 800 years. Okay, we've been subjugated for 250 years. Okay, so it's going to take a little longer than we might think. Now, coming on 2018, there's going to be some major changes in the black community, but it's not going to totally solve all the problems when that happens, but it's going to put us in a good position. But your children have to be on some type of path or some type of mindset that they can take advantage of what's going on, because they're the ones that's going to rescue us. We're not going to rescue ourselves. The children are going to rescue us. So we have to put the time in, put the patience in, into the children, so that when it's come time to be rescued, they'll have the mindset that they know this is what they're supposed to be doing. And once again, I want to thank everybody that's on the line. And even though you got cut off and the call back then and all that, I appreciate it. I appreciate you being here. It's very important for me to know that you're here, to know that you're listening. And I have so much that I want to share. Now, am I a minister? No. Am I a teacher? No. I'm just here with a message of love. And I know one thing for sure. We're not going to get out of anything unless we begin to learn how to love each other, how to treat each other. That's why I tell people, don't treat me the way you treat you, because people treat themselves like crap. So if somebody come up to me and say, well, I want you to treat me the way I treat you. Wait. Treat me the way Jesus treated you. Treat me the way Muhammad treated you. Treat me the way Buddha treated you, because you don't know how to treat people. So I don't want you treating me the way you treat yourself. I see you smoking, drinking, getting high on crack and everything else, and you're yelling and cursing and acting like a nut out there. Please don't treat me like that, you know. Go into the books and learn how you're supposed to treat people. Don't treat me like that, you know. So part of the main part of the problem is that we're being trained by people who really don't care or don't want us to have the information that I'm sharing with you right now. They don't want you to know that you weren't creative. They don't want you to know that you don't have to pray for what you want. You can go and build what you want because you're carrying the power. When the war jumped off, the 1% didn't jump up and say, oh, Lord, have mercy, send us some planes. They set up factories. They got the people working, and they made them plane. They made their planes, the tanks, the ships, everything, and they're still doing the same thing right now. They're not praying for relief because they know they're the ones that's got to bring the relief. They know that they are carrying power. I'm still getting texts and stuff. I'll catch up with them later. But they know they're carrying power. They know they have the power. And they know that there's nothing greater nowhere ever, period. And what they see in that mirror, we wind it down. I only got about 2 minutes left. There's nothing greater than what they see in that mirror. Nothing at all. You follow what I'm saying? And this is so important. This is what we have to learn. You want something, go and build it. He that eateth of me will become a son indeed, and greater works than I did you will do. You can do great works. If you understand that you are a part of everything in the universe. I know, here comes a broken record. No, I've got about 2 minutes. Everything in the universe is connected to you, or you are connected to it, because you are made up of the source. You are made up of source substance. Okay? I'm going to say that again. You are made up of source substance, which is energy. This is what Muhammad, when he said Allah, is one, all one form of energy. And the energy, okay, that we're made up of is permeates the entire universe. And that's what Allah is. Allah is everything in the universe at the same time. Can't be no man, can't be no woman, it can't be a male, it could be male and female, but it can't be no man or no woman. You know what I'm saying? So they're tricking us up. So when they say Allah, He, no, it don't work that way. Some people, they've screwed up the term Allah so much. Some people don't use the whole term. They just say the all. Because if you're coming to Christ consciousness, you begin to notice that there's a oneness thing going on, that we're all connected. This is what the Christ consciousness is all about. The Egyptians spelled it KRST. So it's been around for a while. And that's why I say that, because they've screwed up the teachings of Jesus so bad, you know, and it's hard to get into it. But once you start purifying your heart, once you begin to understand about love, how to treat one another, and that energy begins to come back to you, and the next thing you know, your DNA to awaken, and you begin to see things that you're saying, wait a minute, I read that before, but I didn't get that, you know? And now you're beginning to understand things that were beyond your wildest dreams. I'm just going to run through this right quick. I only got about a minute or two left. But if you understand that you were not created. So in the Bible, when they say, let us make man, something's wrong with that picture. If we can't make a man, what are they talking about? What kind of man did they make? They made the straw man. I mean, think about it. They made the straw man
And since the straw man was a concept coming out of man, they had to take the woman out of the same concept. So they went into the man to get the woman. That don't make sense either, because nowhere in history ever did the man come out the woman. I mean, did the woman come out the man? The man always came out the woman, and that's what's going on, you know? And like I said, once again, I'd like to thank you so much for chiming in. I appreciate it. And just remember, I apologize for the switchboard screw-up here, too, you know? But just remember that love is and always will be the answer. And thank you so much for chiming in. I appreciate it. Peace.